Now, Kev, I know we had talked about it before, so I want a quick refresher on it. When people think Koskinen and his glove hand, that's not necessarily the major issue, is it? There's other things that lead to it, correct?
No, yeah, and we went over this before. Like I'm not going to jump up and down and shout that he has a great glove hand. But I do think that a lot of, you know, and at the end of last year when this was hot and heavy, I went through and we went over it, like literally broke down like 20 goals that were glove side. And it was all about the footwork that didn't allow him to be set and square on shots to that side. And if you're not set and you're not square, that's when things look bad. That's when things leak through. That's when you're not able to seal. And some of them were just good looks. So I think this is going to become a bit of a, it has the potential to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Clearly the book is there. I think that better footwork and better positioning and early two position are going to allow him to show off what I always thought were pretty good hands watching the video coming into his season a little more consistently. But if teams have that book as adamantly as if it's anywhere close to what the media is making it out to be, they're going to keep going there. And so just strictly by a percentage, like if I'm shooting 3-to-1 ratio glove to blocker, more pucks are going to, you know, and you're going to get more quality shots on that side, and the numbers might look worse. But I think when you really break down the tape and really break down the footwork, the amount of times that the footwork let him down and left him facing a glove shot or glove side shot where he wasn't ever square to it, where he's sort of fading that glove hand, almost pulling that shoulder back, I look at that and I'm like, well, he didn't have much of a chance, didn't give himself much of a chance on that, or didn't give himself the best chance to use active hands. So this is a big part of the transition for him. I think it will get easier if the system also prevents some of the lateral plays that we saw last year. Like if they become more of a straight line team, it'll make it easier for him to be set and square on those plays, not moving as much. But to me, that was a bigger component rather than just, you know, quote unquote, bad glove. You know, if I'm not facing you as that glove side shot is coming, I've already reduced my chances of being able to access my glove hand by 50%.
In a quick answer, you know, can you adjust all those things you just mentioned in a 4 or 5 month off season and have it maintain over the course of this season?
I think it will be easier. I don't want to say yes or no. I think obviously you're constantly making adjustments. I don't think that I'm the only one that saw what I saw when I talk about that footwork and how it left him positionally and how he wasn't square as often as you would like him to be. So it is something I believe they went to work on. You can make significant changes. In terms of maintaining adjustments, I think the key there is not to play too much. And that's why I think this is an ideal situation. There are going to be highs and lows. There are going to be ups and downs. When you're making a change, to have it become instinctual takes reps. And when you're starting as much as he did in the second half and late last year, you're not getting those reps in practice. And by all accounts, he's a guy that likes to be out there early and really puts in the work and is a student of the game. But again, to me, the most disappointing part about them late in the season was, you can say, oh yeah, well, hey, might as well keep playing him, but it reduced the amount of sort of quality time he was able to get, you know, sort of fine-tuning and working on those things. And so as much as they played him, like, there's just not enough practice time. You're just trying to survive physically and mentally through the year. You're not able to sort of thrive in a practice environment. I think with Mike Smith there, you're going to find a better balance of that, where you're able to have one guy really working with the goaltending coach, Dustin Schwartz, more often because he's not having to play as much. I just think I like that situation as much as I like the spot for Mike. I like having that other guy there for Koskinen, because I do think there will still be adjustments and there will be ups and downs, and having time in practice is going to be essential. And he should get that this year, and he didn't in the second half of last year.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. And, Kev, you know, you look at, you know, some places around the league. Let's start in the West with the Los Angeles Kings. And, you know, they've got Campbell under contract for 3 years. You got Elliott. You got Calvin Peterson now. Quick has 4 years left. Something's got to give there, no? in LA this before the waiver period and the start of the regular season?
Well, I mean, Peterson doesn't require waivers, so something doesn't have to give there necessarily right now. But you're right. Like, when it comes to fascinating storylines, not so much to start the season, but over the course of this season, the future of Jonathan Quick and what the LA Kings do, to me, is one of the most fascinating. It's kind of topical because they just signed Jack Campbell to a two-year extension. Now, he's on a contract this year at $675, so one of the better deals in the league, had a $928 last year, really established himself as an NHL goaltender again, a full eight seasons after he was drafted high by the Dallas Stars. The problem is, so did Calvin Peterson. Well, Jonathan Quick was injured, and Peterson is not going to want to wait for much longer. He looked NHL ready to me. Yes, I know, short sample, but I know a lot of people that really like his game, and I thought he showed well. I think he had a 922 in the time he was up. So whether it's this year or next, the thing about Jonathan Quick's deal is we all remember 10 years, $58 million contract, 5.8 cap hit was high at the time, and actually probably puts him, you know, closer towards the median, the middle of kind of high-end NHL starters now. But he's got 4 years left on it. This year's still a $7 million cap hit, but it drops from there, 3.5, 3, 2.5 in the final year. And so you wonder if that changes things, because at the end of the day, you have to start looking to the future. And as much as they're an organization that has used goaltending as an asset, trading Martin Jones, trading Jonathan Bernier, trading Ben Scrivens, they've been able to turn goalies behind Jonathan Quick into assets. I'm not sure you want to use Cal Peterson or Jack Campbell as an asset. I think we may be nearing that time where the option of maybe moving on Jonathan Quick and allowing those assets to become the future, it's at least something that seems plausible now. And so, again, that situation, how the three of those handle it, how the team handles it to me this year, is one I'll keep a close eye on, because you're right, something doesn't have to give. Not by training camp, but something does have to give by at least the end of the year and heading into next year. And for the first time in a long time, I don't think it's going to be, well, we just moved the number three guy to get better somewhere else. That's been the model there. But because of Quick's age, because of the injury history, and because of that contract starting to wind down, I wonder if we'll see a different direction in terms of how they manage the excess this time as compared to how they did it with Bernier, with Jones, with Scrivens in the past.
Woodley, would there be a team where they would have a need and would be a good fit for Quick off the top of your head?
Wow, that's a good question. I probably should have thought that through in terms of top of the head. That's a kind of always evolving situation, right? Like,
sure.
If the Colorado Avalanche, who are all in on Philip Grubauer, and have Pavel Francouz, who I'm bigger on, most people don't even know who he is. I think he has a David Rich type trajectory and will be just fine. But Philip Grubauer, for example, has never really been a number one guy. He's been a really good second half guy. He's pushed Braden Holtby to the backdrop in Washington late in the season. He got an incredible second half run last year, but it's different when you're a full season guy versus a half season guy. And so I think Grubauer can get there, but what if he doesn't? There's a team. Vegas is all in on Fleury, but what if Fleury suffers a season ending injury? So I think there are always, it's always kind of in flux. There are only so many seats, so many chairs. But Edmonton, for example, beyond this season, if Koskinen doesn't continue to develop, and with Mike Smith on a short-term contract, Calgary, Talbot, and Rittich, if Rittich doesn't take another step, Chicago's got Crawford and Lehner both with the last years of their deal. So, yeah, maybe not right now, but certainly there could be, all it takes is one injury, or by next summer, there's going to be a whole new market for the goaltending world.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Robin Leonard, what do you make of Chicago? Robin Leonard on a one-year deal, he's going to want to prove himself. And what have you heard about Corey Crawford?
Corey Crawford, that's a tough one because it's all about the health. And anytime you start to get into concussion issues, there's a lot of uncertainty, which is why I think you see Robin Leonard there. And again, to me, short term, both very capable, and they're playing behind a team that needs high end goaltending. for all the talk early in his career about Corey Crawford sort of being a product of the team, the reality is in the last 3 years, when healthy, he's been the backbone of the team because they bleed chances. Under Quenneville, they were a sort of first-chance team, one shot, and don't worry about anything else. And a lot of goaltenders would have liked to play behind that. In the past couple of years, they've given up as many good looks as anyone, and Crawford has been exceptional. So the questions are, can he get back to that level? And even if he does, can you trust him if you're the Blackhawks beyond this season? And I think what makes it interesting for Chicago is it's not like they just have those two UFAs and maybe they pick one and move forward with them. They've got some security behind them. Colin Delia showed well last year in his opportunity when Crawford was hurt, actually outplayed Cam Ward for a stretch. And Hankinen won the world championships with Finland. Maybe still has some work to do in North America, but there's some upside there we saw at the world championship. So those aren't, they just don't have the sort of Lehner and Crawford eggs, if you will, in their basket. They've got something coming up behind them. But you sort of get the sense that based on how this year goes, that will determine what Chicago does moving forward. And I couldn't tell you right now whether it's Robin Lehner or Corey Crawford, or maybe neither, and both hit the market and they decide to go with Adelia or look into other options. So I think for the most part, Crawford's health is going to be the big answer. And not just can he stay healthy, but healthy while playing at that level. Because he was so good 2 years ago before the injury started to pile up. I mean, before the injury started, he was a first half Vezina Trophy candidate, hands down. Like, he was holding that team afloat. And then when he got hurt, they tanked. And they're going to need that level from him. It's all a matter of whether he can stay healthy. And again, it's not just this year he holds their hopes in their hands, but what happens for him and them in the future with Robin Lehner, alongside him, just a ton for that organization tied into Corey Crawford's ability to stay healthy.
Kev, great stuff as always, Matt, and hopefully you get home safe in the floods, and we will talk to you next Monday.
It's settled down. We're no longer worried about building an arch here, but it's Vancouver, so we could be back to the shipbuilding business within 10 minutes.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.